It's always good to be home. I'm taking. We brought eight kids or something. I don't know. I lost count a long time ago. All I know is I got a van full heading west tomorrow, plus two more. And Doug is back there laughing. I don't know which one of you Wilsons decided to tell my little Abby that you had baby kitties. Guess what's going? We about to take some Ohio kittens. They might dry up and die. I never thought about that. They're used to this humidity out there. Their normal meow is gonna be meow. They get out there, they'll be like, and you know, ain't no water in the air. So, but we're taking two cats home tomorrow, brother. But hey, I'm excited. I have mice in my garage, and Lord willing, I will no longer have mice in my garage. But in about 6 months, if I still have mice in my garage, I won't have no cats. So they earn their keep, right? All right. Actually, Abby would probably kill me. So we're taking two cats home. It's good to be here. It's good to see new faces here. That's the exciting part. I went down to Hope today, had the privilege of preaching down there. And I share this with a lot of people. Hope was really, Brother Slee and Pastor Burke, is where I kind of broke my teeth, so to speak. Door knocking, learned a lot from Brother Salih down there. Enjoy coming back and being able to go down there and see the folks down there. And Eric, everybody probably knows Eric. Eric, I walked in, he was like taking his coat off, getting ready to take me outside, and I was like, Eric. But he always likes to get me riled up, and I enjoy going down there. Enjoy coming home and seeing everybody. The house is well upon its way. It's been a project, to say the least. I've been averaging, I don't know, I try to work on it about 40, 50 hours a week, but it's almost done. I'm saying we're probably about a month away. Everything's purchased. I found out that Home Depot made a mistake, brother. They're going to deliver the cabinets to my house, honey, for free.
All right.
It may snow when we get back.
Amen.
I'm serious. It might. I'd love it. It is good to be home. I love seeing the people. I love camp. Love camp. Love challenging the young people. But more importantly, it challenges me. physically anymore. It does challenge me. Spiritually, it challenges me to make sure that I'm able to give the young people something that they can hide in their heart as a treasure, so to speak, as the theme was this year. And I'm very thankful for this church. I'm very thankful for everything that you've done. Just amazing how much you guys love us. Everything that you get, you know. I can't even put it into words what you guys mean to us out there. I will ask you to pray for Brother Thornsley's family. They've got some big decisions ahead of them. They've been out there in Howard, Colorado for 7 years. I want to share this with you. I think it's important that we do. They've been out there for 7 years. And for the last 18 months, maybe, quite a while, it's been them. And Brother Thornsley feels like God might be moving him. And I still have Brother Mike on the other side, but what's cool about Brother Thornsley is our kids match up. They play together, and they're crazy together, and when we get our two families together, I'm just telling you right now, we have 20 children. 19 children. 17 children. I can't count. We have a lot of kids running around. That's all I know. And we get together. We have a good time, fellowship. But I just ask that you would pray that Brother Thornsley would be tender to God's will in his life. And he would know exactly what God wants him to do. And he'd make the right decision. Would I want him to leave? Absolutely not. I'm going to be very honest with you. I got a phone call 2 days ago from a church in Indiana calling about Brother Thornsley. Now, my flesh wanted to say, man, that boy can't preach. He's ugly. He doesn't shower. Right, brother? I couldn't do that. And I got to thinking when I hung up, I said, you know, my words could have just took my best friend away. And that's not easy. And so pray for us. Pray for the Thornsleys out there. I love seeing each and every one of you. Me and my wife were talking, and I think next time, Pastor, when we come, you need to have a sign-up sheet back there. that if you want the Roberts to come over, we got to categorize it. Like, we can go out the farthest the first day and then work our way back this way. So we kind of got a schedule going. But we love to come and see each and every one of you, but sometimes there's just not enough time. We're running nonstop with camp and trying to visit everybody, and it is good to be home. You know, and this Wednesday is a very important day. I shared this down there at Hope today. I don't know what Brother Mick you went through in your military service, but I wish I could take each and every one of you that maybe is not quite as thankful for where you were born as you ought to be. And I wish I could take you just for a moment and show you the countries that I've been in where the kids are starving and the kids fight to the death over an MRE that's thrown in the middle of the street, and where you're not allowed to have a Bible in your possession, and if you do, you're killed. Or just, it's not America. And Wednesday, we sell the birthday, or celebrate the birthday of America. The Declaration of Independence was actually signed, I don't know if anybody else knows this, but it was actually signed on the 2nd of July. So if you think about it, our country took some time to come about. There was a great battle for it. There was sacrifice for it. Men died for it. Women have died for it. And you need to stop and thank God for where you were born. I guarantee you that. We were born, I was born, you were born in the greatest country that is on the face of this earth, bar none. You have the freedom to be able to make the choices that you make. You have the freedom to serve the God. I hope you serve the true God. But this country allows you the freedom to make a decision there. Some people make the wrong decision, but you have that freedom. Why do you have that freedom? Because men and women were willing to put their life on the line to give us that freedom. So this Wednesday, I ask you to stop, pause, and thank God for being born in this great country. The other thing I challenge you to do is the World War II veterans are getting few and far between. And I'm going to say this, and I mean it with everything that I am. If you see a World War II veteran and you don't go out of your way to go shake his hand, shame on you. Shame on you. I see them all the time, and I will get up from my visiting, talking. I really don't care what I'm doing. When I see one, I get up and shake their hand because they deserve it. They deserve that. Just like anybody else deserves it that has served in this. I don't care what branch you're in. I don't care if you're Marine, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, whatever it is. We all bleed red. Shake their hand. They deserve it. It's a great country that we live in. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm not going to take as long as Pastor told me I had, but I know everybody likes hot dogs, and just to let you know, we will be eating a few of the 150 million hot dogs that will be eaten this week. I love hot dogs, but I don't know if I could eat 150 million of them in my lifetime. But I do love hot dogs. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter number 12. When you find your spot, we're going to read verses 1 through 3 here this evening. Stand when you get there for the reading of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter number 12, verses 1 through verse 3. The Bible says here, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou hast comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather together. Lord, to be able to come freely to this great place, to be able to worship your name in song and in truth. Lord, I thank you for this place. I thank you for the people. I thank you for the love that they have for my family, that they share with my family, that they bestow upon my family, the prayers, and more importantly than that, just the prayer support, more than the support itself. Lord, I thank you for putting Pastor Burke and Brother Salih in my path. I thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. I look forward to being able to go back home and, Lord, be able to get in that house, and this church has a great part because of that. Lord, I ask tonight, Lord, that you'd steal hearts. I know everybody's excited for the fireworks and for the food and the fellowship, Lord, but I just ask you tonight to steal hearts. Lord, let us just for a moment be still and listen to your word here tonight. Lord, that if there's somebody here that does not know you, that tonight would be the night that they could call you Lord and Savior. Lord, guide and direct now. We ask you these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In this text here in the book of Isaiah and chapter number 12, what is going on is this is actually a song. It's a song to be sung, and what's happening is God's praise is being sung here. And you look at this, and there's a word used in these three verses that we just read. It's used three times, and you probably know what the word is by now, but that word is salvation. That word is salvation. I went down to Hope today, and I preached on salvation. And I think that a preacher, anytime he goes and preaches, that if he preaches Jesus Christ and the necessity of being saved, he's preaching a good message. And you look at this, and salvation, the title of my message tonight is, Where Will Salvation Take You? It was funny, I shared the title with Pastor Burke here a little bit ago, and he says, I hope that includes heaven. And I said, no, it doesn't. Surprised he didn't say, you ain't preaching tonight. But he knew better. He knew that I might, you know, and you think about that. I can remember those days of sitting across from you at your dinner table in your house, and I can remember the days where I put my foot in my mouth here, and you looked at me, and you and Brother Slee was like, oh my. And you know, I remember that. But one thing that I also remember that has never lacked from behind this pulpit at Cazadel Baptist Temple, as long as I've been here, regardless if it's Brother Burke or Brother Salih or anybody that he comes in, salvation is the emphasis of what is preached. And it should be. We are here to see people saved. We're not here to build a kingdom. We're here for the souls of men. And in this verse here, you see that word salvation three times. Hello, Brother Harris. I meant to tell you that earlier. The word salvation, in fact, is used 164 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word comes from a Hebrew word which means deliverance and victory. So you look at this in the Old Testament stance, and you see deliverance and victory. Deliverance in the Old Testament, you look at the nation of Israel, a lot of times they were delivered and they won the victory. And that, so the word salvation in the Old Testament has that meaning. Delivery, it has the meaning of deliverance and victory. In the New Testament, it comes from a Greek word that means deliverance. Listen to this. Preservation and safety. Did you catch that? Because of our salvation in the New Testament, because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, because of his shed blood, I am preserved from the death I deserve. Now, I don't know about you, but I love preserves. A little toast, a lot of butter. My wife makes fun of me. I like butter on my toast. I do. And I like grape jelly. And I'm a little hungry now. And you know, we are preserved, and we also, it says, safety. Now, I don't want you to go through the motions of salvation just so you have your safety net. Because if you do that, it's not here. It's a word service. It's not a heart service. And it has to be something. I shared that. I think I did a good job today. I don't know. I haven't asked Brother Salih. But I wanted to share and make a point with the people down at Hope that
You will never be thankful. You won't ever be these things unless Christ is the center of your life. You won't ever do that. Most people in here, you'll never be thankful if Christ is not the center of your life. You know how hard it is to be thankful? In the good and the bad? I mean, sometimes it's really cool to be thankful. You know, we got a new van. Lord, God blessed. I'm very thankful God gave us a new van. You know what? My transmission went out in my old truck, and I was out of the pickup for a while. I should have been just as thankful then as I was when I got that new van. The good and the bad, be thankful. But salvation is what we receive when we trust Jesus as our Savior. We receive the gift of salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation is not a thing that we will receive someday. It is a present possession of every person who has received Jesus as their personal Savior. It's something that you possess. It's something, it's the same as if I handed a pen to Pastor Burke, and when he grabs onto it and receives it, there's no difference. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, and it's a gift. It's salvation is a gift of God. If you take time to study salvation, you will find that salvation is responsible, if you think about it, for moving people. Salvation is responsible for moving people. You look at it here. Turn with me here, right quick. Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14, right quick. And verse number 13. Exodus chapter number 14 and verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today." So what is this salvation here that I'm talking about? It brought Israel out of bondage in the book of Exodus. The salvation that God provided to Israel brought them out of bondage in Egypt to the land that they were supposed to possess, flowing with milk and honey. It brought them out of bondage. Jonah chapter number 2. Brother Sleep, will you read that one? My voice is going to dive off here. Jonah chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Brother Shane, would you read Psalm 41 through 3? Brother Morgan, would you read 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 15? And Brother Jordan, would you read 1 Peter 2, 9, please, here in a second. Brother Slee, would you read Jonah 2, 9, please, sir? Not only did we see that salvation brought Israel out of bondage, here in the book of Jonah, we see that salvation brought Jonah out of the whale. Psalm chapter number 40 and verses 1 through 3. Here we see that it brought salvation, brought David out of this horrible pit. When you think of salvation, when I think of the word salvation, I think of a Savior. When I think of the word salvation, I think of lost. Now, when I was a little boy, I'll be honest, I went out into the woods and I got lost. How many people's ever been lost, like truly lost? Like you went out in the woods and it got dark and you were heading back home and... It's dark in Colorado. Is a little different here. There's no street lights. When it's dark in Colorado, it's dark. You don't have the glow of the city around you. It's dark. And I got lost. And I can remember standing there, me and my dogs, and I was like, Toby, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And about that time, I seen my dad with the old 9 or 6 volt, the big old flashlight. I seen my dad coming through the woods. And I'm telling you right now, I was so excited that he was coming to find me. Why? Because I was lost. And what happens when somebody gets saved? We're going to look at a couple more here in a second. That salvation is just like that. They can see that light in the distance. You know what? I didn't wait for my dad. You know what I did? I went to him. You know why? Because the Bible says that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know what was lost? Mankind was lost. By the sin in the Garden of Eden, mankind was lost. They were doomed to a hell, and they were lost. And without Christ coming and that light. Seeing that light, I can remember to this day the joy I felt in my heart. It's no different with salvation. Let's look at a couple more. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verses 12 through 15. Did you hear that? Salvation brought Paul out of his lost condition. Salvation, everybody knows the story. Paul was on the road to Damascus. In all actuality, you know where Paul was going? He was going to kill Christians. Plain and simple. That is what he was doing. He was headed to go kill Christians. God got a hold of him. And look what God did with him. Don't ever question what God can do with you. Don't ever do that. I can remember in 2004, 2005, I can remember God calling on my heart, and I said, God, do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know where I've been? God said, yeah, I know. I know. It's okay. I got this. We just have to be willing to let him use us. Then in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9, did you hear what salvation brought you out of? You heard that, didn't you? Remember that light? Little old light, little 6-volt, big old square battery light, flashlight. And I could see it through the trees. And that light brought me out of darkness. That same light is not the same as this light, folks. This is the light of the world. That's Jesus Christ. He's the light. That light will take you out of darkness. It'll take you out of darkness. So I would like to take just a few minutes tonight, bear with me, to tell you where salvation will take you. If you have salvation, it'll take you to 4 places. Number 1, turn over to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, verses 1 through 3. Look what the Bible says here. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So yes, Pastor, the first place where salvation leads you or takes you is absolutely heaven. It takes us to heaven. Salvation takes a lost, dirty sinner to heaven. Isn't that amazing? Every time we think of that, and I'm Paul said, I'm the chief. I have to argue with that. Every one of us in our own mind should say, I am chief. We all have our shortcomings. We all have our sins. We all have, and unfortunately, I hate to say that we do that. But we do. Your pastor sins. Absolutely. I sin. Brother Salih sins. Brother Salih is convincing me that Miss Lydia doesn't. We all sin, folks. But salvation takes us to heaven. Now, salvation will not make us sinless. If you're saved, guess what? You're going to battle. Plain and simple. If you're saved, you're not, you know, when I got saved, Pastor Burke, this flesh didn't. My soul got, Brian Roberts is got saved. But I wish this flesh, life would be so much easier. Can you imagine that, brother? Not having to fight this stuff. But salvation, I guarantee you, 110%, 2 million percent, takes you to heaven. If you confess Jesus Christ and you have hid him in your heart, you've asked him, you said, I am lost, I need you, you're going to heaven. Guaranteed. Salvation is the key that opens the door to the kingdom of God, according to these scriptures. I think of Brother Will right now. Do you realize Brother Will has a mansion? Woo! He's probably doing backflips, really. He might be doing somersaults, backflips. He might be doing the dance. He might be dancing jig. I don't know. We don't know. There was dancing in the Old Testament. We don't know. I have no idea what we're going to do there. But I tell you what, it's going to be awesome. Plain and simple. Can you imagine to be able to look on your Creator? And not only is he your Creator, he's the one that saved you. That'd be, I love Brother Rob to death. Unfortunately, he's a Michigan fan. Love him to death. I like Michigan too. I just like busting his chops. It would be like Brother Rob being convicted of murder, okay? Ethan's my oldest boy. And Rob, I come to you and say, I've got this. I'm going to give my son because you deserve a pardon. Now, how many of us in here with sons would give our son up to save Brother Rob if he killed somebody? Ain't one of us would. Now, I got three sons. I got some to spare, brother. What does it say in John 3:16? He gave his only begotten son. Now, those of you in here that have one son, he's your pride and joy, ain't he? Be honest now, man. He is. Can you imagine giving your son up? Now, Brother Rob, he's a stand-up guy, but he killed somebody. Brother Burke has one son. And you give Alex in his place. Ain't going to happen. I think I heard that, was it Thursday night or was that this morning? Was it Thursday night? It's me and you and it's Alex. See ya! It's my family. Ain't going to happen. But salvation, God gave his son, and because of that, we get to go to heaven. Do you know what heaven is? Perfect. Perfect. Look at Revelation chapter number 21 right quick. Turn over there with me right quick. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 4. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Jump down to verse number 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride lambs, show thee the bride, the lamb's wife. Jump down to Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 6. Look what it says here. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. That is going to be a glorious city that we get to go to. unbelievable. The stuff that we think is so valuable today is going to be pavement. How many in here would like to have a solid gold bar right now? Raise your hand. Do you realize you're going to walk on that in heaven? It's pavement. That's what it is. It's pavement. And all believers, if you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going there. No questions. I guarantee it. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you haven't, I can guarantee you you're not going there. The second place that it will take us is that it will take you into holiness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17. Look what it says here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, salvation will alter your life. I guarantee it. Salvation will change your life. No man can receive Jesus Christ and remain the same. Now, you might sin, but I guarantee you, your little Holy Spirit, I always think of Melvin. Kill Melvin. I still think of that. I heard that story first time when I was in Camp Sagmont years ago when we first met you guys. And if you sin, I'm telling you right now, that Holy Spirit is going to beat you to death. And you're going to feel guilty. And you're going to feel regret. And you're going to feel remorse. And you're going to be sorry because you sinned against your holy God. If you feel that way, it's not by mistake. We serve a perfect God, and we're imperfect. We're imperfect. Our desire, my desire, and I'm sure pastor's desire, each one of the people in here that have Christ as their Savior, your desire is not to sin against God. It's your desire. But sometimes the old man raises up. That's when you want to pull out that 1911 and just finish it right there. You wish you could, don't you? We all deal with that. We should have a desire to live that way. Salvation's going to alter our life. One mark of true repentance unto salvation is a drastically changed life. 1 John chapter number 2. Turn over there right quick. 1 John chapter number 2. And verse number 9. Look what John had to say here. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 9. He said, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." Jump down to chapter number 3 and verses 7 through 10. Look what he says here. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." It stinks when we sin, folks. Just said right there, and this hurts. If I sin, I loveth not God. I didn't say that. The Bible did. If I sin, and I guarantee you, I'm not perfect. I sin. But when I sin, I not loveth not God. You can ask my children if you want. I sin. I do. I'm human. Same way you are. But it's going to take us to desire to live a holy life. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, right quick. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 10. Look what he says here. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Talked about the new man here a minute ago. I love the new man. I really don't care for that old man. way it ought to be. I'd much rather live with, like the new man lives and needs to live, letting God be the center of his life, than allow the old man to come up and really knock me off of course, if I'm really honest. That old man can knock me off of course. You know, you think about it, when I sin, it shows a weakness in me. When I sin, it shows that I'm human. But when I sin, I can always go to a God that forgives. And he will always forgive me. Always. Not only that, there's a difference. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter number 5. A couple pages over there. Galatians chapter number 5. Verses 22 and 23. We read this one instead of the other one. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22, 23. Look what it says here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Do you see that? When we get saved, when we have salvation, there's going to be a difference in our life. There's going to be a difference in that person. I'm not saying that person is going to be perfect. I'm not saying that person is going to be like super Christian. But there ought to be a difference. There ought to be a change. Then there ought to be a desire to serve the Lord. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. You ought to have a desire to serve him. I shared this week with the kids. That's our obligation to serve Christ. I firmly believe that. You know, when I was in the military, if I think about, and I've read stories of men that have received the Medal of Honor, especially in Vietnam and during the time of the landmines down there, and there was one landmine called the Bouncing Betty. Soldier would step on it and walk by it, and then that thing would jump about waist high and then blow up. There's a particular story that I read of a man that stepped on a Bouncing Betty and he knew he was dead. He knew it. Absolutely knew it. And you know what he did? He took his foot off, took that Bouncing Betty in the stomach and hit the ground. He saved his entire squad by that one action. How many of those men do you think are obligated to him? Christ did one up on that. Do you realize you and I are obligated to go to hell? We are, because of our sin. Because of our sin and the separation from God, it is where we would go if it wasn't for salvation. If it wasn't for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for Christ coming to this earth, humbling himself and dying for you and I, that's where we would be. It would be. We should have a desire to serve him. Thirdly tonight is it will take you into the harvest. Turn over to Mark 16. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. It will give you a desire to go into the harvest. Look at Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does every creature mean? Does it mean we need to go out? Does it mean I need to go out there and before I shoot that elk this year, right, Valerie? We're going to shoot us some elk this year, right? Hopefully. Before we go out there, do I need to say, Lord bless you, you big bull? No. But you think about this, it means that we need to cover everything. That's why it's there. That's why that he used all creatures. Because he wanted everybody to know about his son that he sent. It's our responsibility to do that. Did you know that? The Bible says that if he wanted to, he could have had the rocks. In the Old Testament, he had a donkey turn around. That's why they call sheep, by the way. How many people has ever dealt with sheep before? They're pretty dumb. They are. I talked to a sheep farmer one time. They were running sheep up in the mountains, and he says, yeah, we got to watch them all the time because they'll get distracted. Sounds kind of like us, doesn't it? They'll get distracted and wander off. How many Christians do we know here tonight that have been distracted by the things of this world and wandered off, and they're not here tonight, and they know they should be? It takes us into the harvest, folks. What is the harvest? Turn over to Acts. This is my favorite verse when it comes to a picture of what missions should be, or what the mission of the church, how it should be outlined. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. I believe this is the truest picture of the way it ought to be done. And it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you're doing that here at Cazadale. You truly are. You are doing exactly what verse number 8 says. You're doing it here, 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 and here. That's what the Bible says. We are to do it that way. And it's very important that you do it that way. Because if you can't win them here, we're going to lose way out there. You think about that. It is so important for home churches to be started. It is. There's cities in this country right now that have zero Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches like this one, to preach the truth. Absolutely none. And they're closing their doors frequently. Why? Because there's not that emphasis on the need of it being here. Not like there was years ago. They don't have a desire to go into the harvest. Because I guarantee it's white, folks. It's there. I enjoyed going out Wednesday night with the teens and knocking doors and talking to people. I met a Catholic deacon. I'm better for it, I guess. I kind of felt that way, didn't it, Brother JP? He's like, I'm a Catholic deacon, and you'll be okay, son. I said, okay. You still need to read this and get saved, but you know. He didn't take it. He didn't want it, but it was fun. I enjoy doing that. Not only that, but Jesus never called us to be lazy. He never called us to be lazy. He didn't. He didn't call us to get saved and then sit back and expect. Think about this. I'm the pastor of this church, and you and you and you will go out and door knock, and I'm going to sit here and eat my burrito. He didn't call us to do that. He called us to be co-laborers with Pastor Burke, Brother Salih. If you have not come out on Wednesday night to soul win, I challenge you. It'll change your whole look on life. It really will. Come out. Come out and go soul winning on Wednesday nights. We started going out about 2 weeks ago on Tuesday nights, and we're going to continue doing that through the summer. And we had a good time. We met a couple people, and we went to the Tall Texan and visited some campers that are there. Had a great time talking with those folks. Me and my son and my daughter went walking around, and my kids, and we had a great time going and talking to people. It's a great time. We even found out that Spanish peanuts are better than real peanuts. I mean, they're both peanuts, but if you've never tried Spanish, trust me, try Spanish peanuts. They're way better than the other peanuts. But Jesus never called us to be lazy. He called us to be busy, letting our light shine for him, according to Matthew 5:16. We know that the harvest, according to John 4:35, is there. It's for the taking. He's just looking for the laborers. But look at Mark 1:17 right quick. Turn back to Mark 1:17. I like how this is here. I've come to the conclusion with the last, I don't know what it is, 4 or 5 years of camp, that if there's ever famine in this land, all I have to do is give my son a fishing pole. And we're gonna be fine. Because he's won the most fish caught a few years in a row now. I went just so I could watch him fish. I was like, there ain't no way he's catching any fish. He's like, bleep, one, bleep. I'm like, I'm trying to get the fish off the hook for him and throw it in. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. But look at Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 17. God wants us to be this. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you, will make you to become fishers of men. There's a word in that sentence or in that verse that I want to share that, and that is become. He says, I will make you become fishers of men. There's nobody, and I'll ask Pastor this, when you first got saved, could you go out and knock on a door and be like, hey, I got to tell you about Jesus Christ? Could you do that? You had to learn. He hit the nail on the head. He had to learn to go out and share. And that's why Christ here says, I will make you become fishers of men. The thing is, though, the apostles were willing to be used. And how does that happen? When you come on Wednesday nights, Brother Ricky did it on that Wednesday night. He paired us up. And he does it on purpose. And he'll take a quiet guy like me, and he'll put me with somebody that likes to talk. Somebody that is not uncomfortable to go to a door. So if you come on a Wednesday night and you're a little shy, they'll pair you up with somebody that will talk for you. I guarantee it, isn't it, Pastor? And all you have to do is walk and be an encouragement. And you know what? This is awesome. Do you know what you can do? Why, that person is... Hello, I'm so-and-so from Kazadel Baptist Temple. You know what you can be standing over there doing? Dear Heavenly Father, please tender this heart. Please let him be receptive to the word tonight. If it's your will, please let him get saved. Do you know how important that is? You have shut-ins here at Kazadel. And I guarantee you those shut-ins pray for the services. I think it was Spurgeon. I might be wrong here, and if I am, correct me. But I think Spurgeon was asked what the power behind his preaching was. And he took this reporter downstairs, and there was men during his preaching services. During his service, was on their knee begging God to give him the power to preach. Be willing to go to the harvest. Wherever it may take you. Because it may move you. It did me. I was thinking about that here in the last couple days. I love Kazadel. I love everyone here. But this isn't where God has me now. My heart's in Gunnison. I called my people today and found out that there was guests there. Praise the Lord. I wasn't even there, and we had guests, brother. May not have another guest all year. I don't know. We had guests, and they said they're going to be there, and then I found out who they are. They're from Black Oaks Baptist Church down in Tennessee, and they're on vacation. They're on their one-year anniversary. They've been married for a year, kind of like almost, well, a little longer than you guys. And how exciting is that? Do you know how thrilling it was when Mrs. Left my name. She came out and visited. Sally Ballou. I was funny. This will crack you up. I'm downstairs, and it was between services. I'm downstairs, and I look over, man. I was like, man, I know that woman from somewhere. I was like, man, I know her. And I know I was like this, Brother Haddix. I was like, please come to me. And then I was like, I went over to my wife and I said, is that Mrs. Ballou? And she goes, a lot of help she was, huh, brother? But yeah, it was. And how exciting it was for them to come out. And then we had a couple more come out. And then when the ladies came out and helped out with the kids' crusade, and I think our high for the kids' crusade was like 16 or 17, wasn't it? That's exciting. You're like, oh, 16 or 17. It's the harvest. It's the harvest. We should be excited about it. Be excited about it. Be willing to go. Every Christian is a witness. Now catch this. Either for or against Jesus. The question you have to ask tonight is, which one are you? Where are you at? Fourthly, here this evening, salvation will take you. The song just came into my head, Pastor. It'll take you right where you're sitting right now. Salvation will take you to the house of God. Or it should. You should have a desire to be in your place every time there's a meeting, every time there's anything. You should have a desire to be sitting right where you are right now. You should have a desire to be here. Look over at Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. Very popular verse. Everybody, a lot of people in here could probably stand up right now and quote this verse. I'm pretty sure that Josiah, Lillian, and Olivia could. It amazes me, young people. Don't ever lose the desire to memorize Scripture. Because the older you get, the harder it is. And you start losing things and forgetting things. Absolutely. Young, you know why? It's those darts that God gives you to be able to defend off the darts of the devil. I guarantee you. But look at verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what, folks? I see the day approaching. I see the day approaching. We should be exhorting. We should be lifting up. I'm telling you right now. If there's a person here that's not here tonight, that's usually here tonight, which one of you are going to call them? It says to lift one another up. Find out why they're not here. Find out what's going on with them. Maybe they're having trouble. Maybe something's going on with their life. Be an encouragement. Edify them. Lift them up. Tell them, man, you missed an exciting message, that message this morning. You missed a great message this morning. You missed a great message. You know what? The time you miss church, the time you decide to stay home, might be the message that you need. I know that. I'm telling you right now. Time in my life back in the past where I was like, man, I don't feel good today. I'm gonna stay home, watch my Broncos. Oops. But I went to church, and the message that was preached changed my life. Why? Because I was in my place. I've only been pastoring for a little less than 4 years. But when they're not there, you wonder, will you see them again? Are they coming back? Did I do something wrong? It's just what we do. Why? Because you're my flock. In Gunnison, that's what I think when somebody's not there. I'm sure the pastor's the same way.
Are they okay? Did something happen? He checks up on them, I'm sure. But so should you.
It'll bring you here. You think about this in Luke. Somebody turn to Luke 4:16 and read that for me, please. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 16. You really think about it. Jesus went to church. He did. Read that, somebody, whoever gets there. One of you men, read that. Whew. You hear that? Did you see that? Where'd Jesus go? He went to the synagogue. He went to church. It was the Sabbath day. He went to church. He went there and he purposed in his heart to worship God. How? By reading the word. He went to church. We ought to have a desire in our heart to be in church whenever the doors are open. When that happens, when you get that desire, when that salvation comes into you and you're saved and you have a desire to be here, you'll have a desire to worship God. You'll have a desire to worship God not only in, you know, that song. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. That sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? Not really, does it? You should be like, he loves me. He loves me. This I know. You know why? The Bible tells me so. When you walk through them doors on a Sunday morning or a Thursday evening or a Wednesday evening with the desire to go door knocking, or maybe you go to the nursing home on Tuesday evenings and you go down and see Brother Gary. I love that guy. Love that guy. You should come with a desire to worship God. You should come with a desire to hear from God. You should come with a desire knowing that God, you know what? He's going to speak to you. If you come through that door and you don't have that desire, ask God to give it to you before you get in here and sit down. You know why? Because it'll put a smile on your face. We come in here and we sing songs. We sing praises. That song tonight, thank you, choir. I love that song. There ain't nothing better than a Star Spangled Banner, man. Love that song. You get excited. You get a desire to hear from God. You get a desire. Everybody, hey, all good Baptists love to eat. That's just a fact, brother. We're about to do that. We're about to go get turkey sandwich. We is. Promise. You ought to love to eat and hear more. I told Brother Hanks, I said, Brother Hanks, you make a pecan pie? He says, all you had to do was call, brother. It's a great illustration, you know that? All we got to do is call. I thought about that after you said that. And I said, you know what? That's the word of God. It's the bread of life right there. All we got to do is call. And we will be fed. Four things tonight that salvation gives us. Number one, glory to God, I get to go to heaven. Whenever I say glory to God, I always think of Big B. First time I ever heard that man, he said, glory to God! True story. Do you realize that? We get to go to heaven. If you're saved here today, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, do you know where your final destination is? You know what that is, Brother Peterson? That's heaven, brother. That's a street of gold. That's the crystal sea. That's a mansion. That's where my Savior is. And I get a look upon His face. That song, oh, What a day that will be
when my Savior I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace.
We get to go to heaven.
We get to strive to live holy. Make it a desire in your heart to live for Jesus. You know what else? We get to get into the harvest. I love, on the way out here, they're cutting winter wheat right now. I love that. See them out there in that field, cutting that wheat and that chaff, blowing away, and it's a harvest. You realize God has a harvest here for you all? God has a harvest for us, but there's a harvest. He just wants us to go. And lastly, salvation, it'll bring you here. It'll give you a desire to find a place to serve and to worship God. It will. And when you find that place, do it wholeheartedly. Get a love for serving God. Because when you get that, it is pretty awesome. It is awesome. Had a soul saved last week, praise God. It was worth it all right there. We've been in Gunnison 4 years. Caleb, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. Caleb's not perfect. But are you saved, Caleb? Luke. Yep. It was worth going to Gunnison. It's worth staying in Gunnison. It's where God's put our heart. That's where God wants me to preach. And I love and miss them people. Where are you going to let your salvation take you? If you're saved here tonight, you know you're going to heaven. But let it take you out in the harvest. Let it take you to the holy life, and let it keep you in this building. Let it keep you coming. Get a fire, folks. If you don't know Him, if you're not saved here tonight, don't go out there and enjoy that. I beg you, don't go out there and enjoy that fireworks show without first making a decision in your life to allow Him to be your Savior.